I'm going to try to speak slowly. I don't promise nothing. Good evening, everybody. Who of you were here last week? Let me just see. Okay, who was not here last week? I want to see your sick note. Anyway, last week I was sharing about a young man that I prayed for many, many years ago. He suffered from severe epileptic fits. And he had a lot of behavioral deficiencies, problems, whatever you want to call it. And it turned out that in the end, one of the biggest reasons why he battled the way that he did was because his life was cursed. And his mother had tried for most of his life to find help for him. Now, even though she did her best, and even though I do believe there was probably minute small changes, until you don't get to the root of the problem, you cannot deal with the problem. Now, just quickly for those of you that weren't here last week, the problem in his life was, even before his birth, his father was spoken over by a fortune teller. And the fortune teller told the gentleman that he would die before, I believe it was his 30th birthday. And he died just before his 30th birthday, but he had already conceived his son. As far as I remember, he never saw his son. He died just before the young man was born. But the curse that was spoken over the father, the spirit of death that came upon the father, also came upon the son. But nobody knew that. Nobody understood that. And that spirit controlled his life for many, many, many years. But then he was set free. One thing we must never lose sight of. The gospel is called the good news. And the fact is, there is good news for us when we are not in a good place. There is good news for us when the devil is giving us a hard time. There is good news for us when the thief is running away with all of our stuff. There is good news for us when we are sick and we are battling with stuff. Getting back to this young man, he had a dream. His whole life he wanted to be a truck driver. But because of his epileptic situation, he wasn't allowed to drive trucks. In his deliverance, part of what happened was he got delivered from a demon of epilepsy. And when the demon of epilepsy left, he went for tests. And he got doctors' certified tests to prove that he had no more epilepsy. And the epilepsy left him because he was delivered by the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's now roughly 20 years later. He still drives drugs. And he has a good life. Amen. Bless God. Now, often in life, there are people who continuously have problems. They have issues. They have disasters, etc., etc. And things just never seem to get better. In fact, the same old keeps happening over and over and over again. Now, it's not inconceivable that somebody that has that kind of a life could be living under some kind of a curse. A curse is a spiritual force at work in your life. Yes, it's a demon, but it's a specific type of demon. It is at work in your life, and it's trying to mess with your life. Like, you want to go this way, it's trying to push you that way. You want to go, yeah, it's trying to push you there. You're trying to start a business, it does everything it can to make it flop. You want to be in a new relationship, you do everything you can to make it work. There's just constant fighting and bickering, and nothing ever seems to fall into place. It's like something trying to confound whatever you're trying to do. Now, the first thing that we have to do if we want to deal with something like that is we have to identify the cause. It says in the book of Proverbs 26, verse 2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Very important word used there, a curse without a cause. Look at your neighbor and say, cause. And this is what we have to understand. Now, a lot of people have this thing, listen, yeah, my life is cursed, pray for me. Yes, we need to pray for you, but when you want to break a curse, you also sometimes have to be quite specific. There's a proverb that says you gotta hit the nail on the head. You know, have you ever had a fly come and give you a hard time? Now we all know that you can go mad and bonkers and like, you can look like Jackie Chan on steroids, but that's not going to kill the fly. You gotta wait for it to sit still. You gotta focus. You gotta zoom in. It helps if you got a fly swatter. Gone. But just randomly lashing out at it, it just gets more and more charged and it gives you more and more of a hard time. So there are certain things where we cannot just be random. We have to go after the cause. And if we can identify the cause, we can pull the root. When you pull out the root, it dies. It's dealt with. So, certain things in life you cannot deal with in general. You have to be specific. Now, just the other day, somebody had a conversation with me about these things, and they said to me, yeah, but how am I supposed to know? What are the things that is cursing my life? And I'm going to give you a very simple answer. The Bible is full of examples and illustrations. The problem is we don't know the Bible. There are a lot of things in the Bible that says if you do this, you are cursed. If you do that, a curse will be upon your life. Now, we need to look at what the Word of God says, what the Word of God teaches, and say, well, was I involved in that stuff? Did I expose myself to these things? Because if I did, chances are I am under said curse. So it is when we spend time studying the Word of God that we begin to find the causes for the curse upon our life. And if we can understand the cause, if we realize what door we opened and we are willing to go and close that door, we can also deal with what came in and is robbing us of our peace at the moment. And without that knowledge, it is sometimes impossible for us to deal with these things. Now, we've spent a considerable amount of time looking at things like the occult. By now you should know that you better not go to fortune tellers. It's not good to summon spirits. It's not good to be talking to dead things and, you know, whatever. Don't get involved in spiritism. Don't get involved in witchcraft. Don't get involved in sorcery or the occult in any way, because it belongs to the realm of Satan. And you must understand that. Let me give you an example. You get up in the morning, knowing the Word of God, you put on the full armor of God. Here's my helmet of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that my mind is protected. Here's my breastplate of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that my heart is kept safe and pure. Here's my shield of faith. Father, thank you that the faith of Christ is dwelling within me. Here's my belt of truth. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is exposing me to the truth. Here's my shoes. Lord, thank you for the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And yes, my sword. Lord, thank you that I can fight the devil. And so, yeah, now we're ready to hit the road. We're ready to go out into the world, aren't we? Now imagine, here I go, as they say, dressed for success. And then I happen to just, oh, wow, you know what? I need a raise. I've been praying and praying and praying, and it looks like God is taking his sweet time. I'm sure my situation needs a bit of help. The local witch doctor advertises. You've driven through the city, haven't you? You've seen the things. Okay. Find your lost lover. Increased in certain sizes of certain anatomical parts, bringing you good luck, dealing with your enemy. Apparently these oaks can do just about everything. Now, imagine you walk into that oak shop. What happens to the armor of God? It belongs to God, not the devil. is going to fall off. Why should the armor of God protect you when you are willingly moving into Satan's territory? It's different when God sends you somewhere to go do something, because now you've been commissioned to go and do something. But for you to just like, oh, well, here I am. I'm all dressed for success. God's power is upon my life. And here I go. Listen, just deal with my boss because he's not paying me enough. The armor of God is waiting outside. Can't go with you there, because God is not going to protect you from disobedience. You're going to pay the price for it. And something is going to attach itself to your life. Okay. So, that's why you don't get involved in the occult. Knowing God, being anointed, none of these things are a deterrent to what Satan will put in your life if you mess with his things. He will attach himself to you and he will mess with you. So, as we have seen, running after false gods and dealing with the occult is the main causes for curses in people's lives. But that is, however, not the only causes. And I want to show you a couple of other things that the Bible talks about that is definitely going to mess with you. That will give the enemy a lot of power. If we look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27, it actually has a lot to say. God commands the Israelites to take two large stone tablets with all the words of the law written on them. Now, the very first thing that they have to do after they cross the Jordan River. Now, what happened when they crossed the Jordan? They entered the promise. Okay? I want you to listen to this. Everybody in this place tonight, we want the promise. Whether the promise for your life is a good marriage, whether it is a healthy life, whether it is financial security, prosperity, hope, peace, joy, life, love, whatever the case might be, we all want the promise, right? Now listen to this. They've just crossed through the Jordan. God speaks to them and God says, here are stone tablets. The following things are going to be put on these stone tablets. They have to assemble in the presence of the law of God, which is written on these tablets. And then God says, now that you've seen what I expect of you, don't curse, don't swear, don't lie, don't steal, honor your father, honor your mother, etc., etc. In the presence of my word, in the presence of my law, the Levites will recite the following, wait for it, curses. That's like scary. Listen to this. The Levites shall pronounce the following curses. God wants them to understand that even though they have now entered the promise, because they are his people, they still have to be obedient to him. The fact that the promise is in your life doesn't mean you can now turn around and do what you want. You still have to obey God. You still have to do what God expects you to do. Amen? And we know that disobedience always brings consequences in your life. Israel, or God wanted Israel to fully understand that God is giving them two alternatives. Don't ever say that you don't have two alternatives, because you do. You want to know what your alternatives are? The blessing or the curse? The choice is yours. The blessing if you honor and obey God. The curse if you turn your back on God, disobey God, and honor false gods. Okay. The two alternatives are either the blessing or the curse. And I want to be very clear on this point. There is no third alternative. You know, you always get these people that are very happy to sit on the wall. They're not going to choose this side and they're not going to choose that side. It's like, oh, there's merit in that, but I also understand that point of view. Me, I'm going to hang around here in the middle and everything is going to be fine. I want to tell you a secret. The wall belongs to the devil. Okay. You can't sit on the fence. It belongs to Satan. It is obvious that many believers today feel that there has to be some kind of middle ground somewhere. Do you want to know why so many people have so many problems? Because they try and live their life on the middle ground, which belongs to Satan. Yeah. Say again. Yes. Well, that's very true. To the church of the Laodiceans, something to that effect, God said to them, listen, yeah, were you either hot or cold, I could still tolerate you. But the fact that you are lukewarm, the fact that you want to hang around in the middle here somewhere, I'm spitting you from my mouth. God doesn't tolerate that kind of a nonsense. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. Listen to this. This is very, very, very important. They are pronouncing this curse on behalf of God over the people, for the people to hear how God feels about certain things. They say, yeah, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Now, the Bible doesn't have double standards. So if it says cursed is the man, it also implies cursed is the woman. Okay? Because you've got some aunties thinking to themselves, ha, that's only applicable to my husband. No, it's applicable to you too. All right? Listen to the curse. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. There are countless adults who are suffering today because of what happened many years ago when they were younger. Not that you would not be that you would not be disrespectful to your parents when you are older, but it tends to happen more when you are younger. And now, you see, here's the thing. Let's think about this. How old are you now? 66. You look very good for 66. I was going to guess about 50. You look very good, yeah. Okay, I'm not going to ask any ladies their age because they will never come back to church again. I'm just going to refrain from that. But let's just say we are an average of 45. Okay. Let's say you are 45 years old. You wish. It was a while ago. Let's just leave it at that. It was a while ago. But it feels like yesterday, doesn't it? There we go. Let's say that you're 45 years old. It's been probably at least 25 years since you've been in your father's house. You moved out when you were in your early 20s. You started your own life. You can't even remember the stuff that you got up to in your father's house. But what if now today you are 45 years of age? You're trying hard to make a living for yourself. You've got plans. You've got vision. You've got everything. But for some reason, things just don't want to come together for you. It's like you get up, and then somebody pulls the carpet out from under you, and boom, there you go down. And then you work hard, you get up, and then boom, you go down. What is a curse? A curse is kind of like that thing that goes, anything that can go wrong does go wrong. Things just don't work for you. And now you begin to like, oh, but how does this work? Why does that oak get so far in life and me, I'm not going anywhere? And why does doors open for this one, but every time I try and go through the same door, it shuts in my face? I mean, has God got a problem with me? Maybe in a sense, yes. Because maybe you brought yourself under this curse. Now, one of the things that I've noticed when you spend time counseling people can sometimes be a very big eye-opener to get you to understand how certain things fit together. A lot of adults who have serious problems in their own personal life, whether it be health-related, whether it be financial, whether it be within relationships, whatever, when you begin to question them about their relationship with their parents, you begin to see a picture. A lot of pieces get put into the puzzle. Because what you tend to find is a word that is very important. The word is called rebellion. You see, to some extent, it is acceptable from a worldly point of view, to be a bit rebellious towards your parents. I want you to understand something. For God, it is never acceptable for you to be rebellious towards your parents. Because if you can be rebellious towards your parents, you are definitely going to be rebellious towards God. Because who gave you those parents? It was God. Let's look at that. Many times we fail to make the connection between our current situation, our current problems, our current issues, and the relationship we had many years ago with our parents. And the thing is, when you're 45, you've probably matured a little bit, and now your relationship with your parents is quite okay. But back then it wasn't. And you see, the door opened back then for something to come into your life that is working very hard now to keep you down. And that's why sometimes it's difficult to understand how these things work. One of the biggest problems that the younger generation is faced with today is the problem of rebellion. And like I said to you, the world has no problem. I wonder how many of you have taken the time to watch some of the programs that youngsters watch. I'm thinking of things like Disney XD, where you've got these, it's normally about some very fast-talking, wisecracking young boy or young girl. Just watch the way they treat their parents. Do yourself a favor. They speak to their mother and their father like they are idiots. They have this attitude that they know everything. Many times they are blatantly disrespectful towards their parents. And then, you know, you've got this laughing track going on. Every time they speak to their mother like she's an idiot, like, oh, Ma, are you stupid or something? You know, I'm just giving a stupid example. But then it's like there's this laughing track that goes. What's up with that? It's like telling the kids that we are trying to raise right, that it's actually funny to treat your parents like they are stupid. It's actually acceptable to tell your father that he's being stupid or he's an idiot, or, you know, just speaking to him in a disrespectful tone or manner. The world thinks it's cute when a child gives a parent a lecture. God doesn't think it's cute. God will never think it's cute because it's teaching the child wrong. And at some point in time, you got to put your foot down and say, listen, yeah, it's my responsibility to raise my children. And it's my responsibility to raise them right. And if these kind of shows is going to lead them down the wrong path, then this is not the kind of shows my children need to listen to be exposed to. Because can I tell you what is going to happen? If you don't put your foot down and start raising them right, then they are going to grow crooked. And we all know that the tree that grows crooked, that wasn't made straight when it is younger, will never be straight when it is older. You know, our prisons are full of 40-year-olds. Who started down that path when they were 10, 11, 12, 13. And they started developing a really bad attitude towards their parents. Let me ask you a question. If you're 10-year-old or 11-year-old, if you allow them to talk to you like you're a dog, if you allow them to tell you how it is instead of you telling them how it is, what are they going to do to their boss one day? Exactly the same thing. If you allow your son to talk to your wife like she's a piece of furniture, what is he going to do to his wife one day? He's going to treat her exactly the same way. But now, who's going to be responsible for that one day before God? Well, both of you, you and your son. You firstly, because you should have trained, you should have taught him right. Him, because of his rebellious attitude. The thing is, we don't do our children any favors if we allow them to be disrespectful, if we allow them to get away with a rebellious attitude. God hates the spirit of rebellion. Because whether you like it or not, the original sin was still rebellion. Listen to me carefully. Where did rebellion come initially? It wasn't in the Garden of Eden. Yes, Adam and Eve did rebel against God when God said to them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But rebellion started many, many, many years before that in the heavens. When Lucifer said, why should I listen to God? Why should I take orders when I was born to give orders? Why should I submit to God if I can get the angels to submit to me? And he enticed the angelic world. And a third of them sided with him. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12, there was a war in heaven. The dragon and his angels fought against Michael, or Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they were cast out of the heavens. The reason the world is in the state that it's in is because of Satan and his rebellious attitude. Now, did that please God? It still doesn't please him. And you see, one thing we have to understand, I see many parents sitting here. You need to know these things. Satan wants to do to your kids what he did to Adam and Eve. He wants your kids to be disrespectful. He wants your kids to be disobedient. He wants them to have an attitude. You can't allow that. And it's up to you to take certain steps to help them on their way. Because if you let them get away with it today, they will be under the curse tomorrow. And tomorrow, nothing is going to happen for them. The curse that comes upon your life through rebellion will suck everything out of you. What did Adam and Eve lose through rebellion? Everything. They were no longer close to God. They no longer had the benefit of living in the Garden of Eden. They were no longer exposed to the glory of God, to the provision of God. They lost the best and they had to settle for second best. And the same thing is going to happen to your children if you don't put your foot down and say, listen, yeah, in my house, we don't talk like that. In my house, we don't treat people like that. You don't like it? This is the consequences of your actions. I see something that I find very alarming. Parents today are scared of putting their foot down when it comes to their children. Why? Since when are you afraid of a 10-year-old? Since when are you afraid of a 12-year-old? With all due respect, you have a responsibility. It's time to take up that responsibility. Put your foot down. You know, it's like parents have this thing. Oh, I don't want to hurt my little so-and-so. You're hurting them more by not doing anything than what you are by doing what God expects you to do. And I do want to say this to you. They're probably not going to like it when you put your foot down. But there'll come a time when they'll thank you for it. Even though today they're going to be upset and moody and who knows whatever, you'll get it out of them. God will help you. And it's important for them because you do not want little Yanni or Sunny or Kwesi or Piti or whoever that might be to grow up under the curse. You want them to walk in the blessing of God. I want you to see what God himself spoke over the Israelites. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 16. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. But what do you think is going to happen to the father and the mother that allow that to just happen? Well, they come under the same curse, don't they? Because you gotta put your foot down. You gotta honor the word of God. Now, moving away from your kids and speaking about you. This is where all of us have to take a bit of a stroll down memory lane. And we have to revisit the way we grew up. We have to revisit the way we treated our parents. You know, there are some people in this world that really honored their father and their mother. And if you want to know where to find them, they way down the road to prosperity right now because God is blessing them. And then there are the other ones that thought it was cute and nice and acceptable to be cocky and to be stupid and funny and weird and to bump heads. You don't tell me what to do. Where are they now? They're battling. Because they are under that curse. Rebellion will forever be associated with Satan. He was the original rebel, and he is the father of all rebels. God brought judgment upon Satan for his rebellion. Now we all know what happened. Because of Satan's rebellion, he was thrown out of the heavens. I want to tell you something. Satan lost everything because of his rebellion. Adam and Eve lost everything because of their rebellion. What makes me or you so special that we're going to lose nothing because of our rebellion? Fact is, you might be sitting here and you have no idea how much you've lost because of your rebellion. But it can be fixed. But what needs to happen is God needs to help you to identify that this is one of the biggest problems that you're faced with right now. You see, rebellion opens a very big door for a very, very big and nasty chocho to come into your life. And it comes specifically to bring destruction. It comes specifically to make you pay for that rebellious attitude. God cannot punish Satan, cannot punish Adam, cannot punish Eve, but he's like, oh, I can't get it over my heart to punish this oak. I just love him so much. It's just like, I can't do it. I bless you, I bless you. That's not how God works. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God shows no favoritism. And what's good for one is good for another. Now, rebellion by nature is always against some form of authority. Do you agree? I mean, it's difficult for you to rebel against your, if you're 16, it's difficult for you to rebel against your 10-year-old brother. There's nothing to rebel against. You tell him what to do. But it's easy to rebel against your mother. Like your mother says, go clean your room. And then, you know, you roll those eyes. But what are you communicating to your mother by rolling your eyes? Oh, give me a break. Don't be stupid. Really, I mean, look, Mom, get a life. Now, the thing is, in rolling your eyes, you are rebelling. In going, you are rebelling. In turning around, whipping yourself, you are rebelling. And the devil is like, what? Ooh, we've got a live one here. And the things begin to come for you. And the more you do it, the closer they come. There'll come a time he comes and sits on you. And then your rebellion becomes ugly. Because you see, the devil doesn't want you to be cute. He wants you to be ugly. That's when you start shouting at mother and father and treating them like total rubbish. And that's when you start paying a severe price for what you have done. All right, let's just talk about that very quickly, seeing as we are talking about it. I think to some extent, we are actually discussing that. What is my role? I am called to be a parent. Okay? Every child is a gift from God. But God says, if I find you faithful in the little things, I will give you the big things. God wants to see us as faithful, good stewards of everything that God has given us. Now, as a parent, I have to look after my children. I have to raise them right. And let me just make one thing very clear. There is a very big difference between being a parent and being a chomi. You know what a chomi is? A buddy. A friend. Today, one of the problems I believe that we have is so many parents are trying everything they can to be friends with their children. Now, the thing is, friends let friends do things that parents would never allow. And that's where children get the wrong idea. You know, with all due respect, when your 16-year-old is going to the club and you're the one buying them the drink in the club, you are no parent. And don't be surprised if all hell is going to go and break loose in your life, because God can never honor that kind of attitude. You know, sometimes we have parents, I say this respectfully, but it happens, it's true, and I've had to counsel people like that, that Yanni or Pitti is 10 or 11 or 12 years old, and the father is the one giving them the cigarette to smoke. Yeah, my boy, have your first puff. You know, your friends might laugh about it and think it's cute, but God doesn't. Because what example are you setting? Giving them their first hardtack liquor when they are 13 or 14 years old, because you have to be a man, my boy. Yeah, drink this, down this. You know, in your friendship circle, everybody's going to think that's cute. God and the devil both don't think it's cute. God thinks it's ridiculous, and the devil thinks, oh my goodness, this is going to be fun. Because they're calling me, so I have to come. You have to be a parent. And you know what? Parents have to say no. They can't always say yes. You know, that's why I say sometimes I get the idea that certain parents are afraid of their children, because they just, vrachtig, they can never say no. How many times has God said no to you? He's teaching you something about parenting. Not everything is good for them. You know, yes, they want to go to this party, but you know that there's going to be some very unsavory characters there. And you know they've only got one thing on their mind, and there's going to be a lot of liquor and a lot of alcohol. And your kids are too young to go there. What do? You say no. Let them sulk. Let them complain. Let them perform. Send them to their room. Let them go think a little bit. At some point in time, they're going to get the message. But you have to say no. You are called to raise them right. Yes, in a sense, I suppose it does make your life easier to always say yes. But now, it doesn't always make your life easier. Because the times when you should have said no was to keep your kids out of trouble. The yes, yes, yes is also going to lead to a lot of trouble for your children. And when your child is in trouble, you are in trouble, yes. Say again. That's right. That's right. You hate your child if you save him from the staff. Fact is, God, when we step out of line, what did he say there? Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. God makes it very clear, from him you will have serious consequences if you do not honor him. God is teaching you what a father should do. When things are not right, how much time have I got left? There must be some consequences. Now, there is a scripture in the book of Proverbs 20, verse 20, which goes something to this effect. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but it says, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. His lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now listen to those words, just to link on with what we're talking about. And I'm actually not even going to touch on the other things tonight because I think we need to just finish with this. Cursed is the one who dishonors his father or his mother. His lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Close your eyes. Just humor me. Close your eyes. What do you see? Well, some of you see nothing and some of you see darkness, but you're seeing the same thing. Okay, open your eyes. Imagine if you had to go through life in that way, seeing nothing. The Bible says, listen carefully, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or who curses his father or his mother. His lamp will be snuffed out. In other words, the light will be removed from your life. Who's the light? God is the light. The Bible says God is light and in Him there is no darkness. When you curse your father or your mother, you are dishonoring them. You are rebelling against them. You are treating them with contempt. That cannot go down well with God. Eyes represent vision. Vision is important for two reasons. It's important for me to see there's a chair. Boom, I can go and sit down. But it's also important for me to see where I'm supposed to go with my life. There is a spiritual component to vision. The Bible also says, my people are destroyed for lack of vision. If you have vision, you know where God wants you to go. If you lack vision, you go where you want to go and you fall into the pit and you hit the obstacle and things just don't work out. It's always better to know where God wants you to go. Your attitude towards your parents determines whether God will reveal to you where to go or not. Do you know why a lot of adults go nowhere in life? Because the Bible says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. Not everything that we think is cute or nice or whatever is going to work out. Not every opportunity that comes your way is a godly opportunity. You remember Snow White and the red apple? There's plenty of red apples coming your way. Vision shows you which one is fraught and which one is good. And most people have no vision. Why not? Because of the relationship between you and your parents. And this is where the problem comes in, because now you're 50 years old, you've forgotten what you used to do in your parents' house. But you can't understand why nothing ever falls in line for you, why opportunities never come, why the blessing isn't there. The door opened 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And then you have to go back and you have to go and make right. You have to deal with that rebellion that you allowed to come in. The demon of rebellion is a very destructive spirit, because it comes from Satan himself. He is the original rebel. And many people that have a very strong spirit of rebellion, the demon will actually call himself Lucifer when we cast him out. Think about it. You would expect to find that with people that messed with the occult, yet you find it many times when you find a lot of a very strong rebellious attitude, the spirit of Lucifer will manifest. Why? Because Lucifer is the rebel. Amen? So here's the thing. Getting back to the fact that we have to identify the cause. Some of you, yeah, you were very respectful. You always towed the line. You said, yes, dad, yes, mom. Jump to attention. God bless you. You probably have no problems, but you still needed to hear this because you have kids. But there's some of you sitting, yeah, you like, ooh. Hey, things are getting hot because you know that it speaks to you. And therefore you need prayer, because there is a very good chance that right now you are in darkness when God wants you to be in the light. But your darkness came from your childhood, from the way you treated. And one more thing. This is not just about parents. Yes, the worst curse will come about from rebellion against your parents. But it speaks of a rebellious attitude. You know, my son is sitting here. So when I drop him off at school in the mornings and when I go and pick him up, we have a conversation. And then I hear how things happened at school. And then he says to me, so-and-so today told the teacher, I'm not interested, gets up, takes his stuff, and he walks out. Man, I want to tell you something. If you did that in my day, you would not survive. But today it looks to me like this happens on a daily basis. Now, where does all authority come from? Well, let me show you. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. You might not like Mrs. Pochenpool, but God put her there. Hello? You might not like Mr. Ferreira, but God put him there. And God expects you to respect him, God expects you to honor him, and God expects you to be obedient. And you know what? Here's the thing. You get up out of the class, you show everybody what a man you are, take your stuff, swagger out of there. Everybody thinks, oh wow, oh that's so cool. It's nothing cool about it because in another 15 years time, you're going to cry big tears, not knowing why your life is in the pit. But that's where it started. And that's why we need to change our attitude. Because God cannot bless an attitude like that. This curse is not just about parents. It's about rebelling against authority. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.